This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-490-1099 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-490-1099.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Batches. I don't have to show you any stinking batches.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Let the game begin. Welcome to it, everybody. It's Friday on the Chris Salcedo Show. Glad you've tuned in here to the Blaze Radio Network. The particulars rolling your way right now. How to get in touch with the show. 888-900-3393. 888-900-3393. That's one. How about the new fandangled way? How about across social media? You can go to the Facebook page, which is the Chris Salcedo Show. And while I'm thinking about it, if any of you have a solution or a reason why this is, used to be able to show up on the Facebook page how many people were following your Facebook page, but now it's gone. It used to be right there in green clickable numbers, but it's gone. Is that a Facebook format exchange? I don't know. Anyway, join the folks who are already there on the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page. You can also go to Twitter at Chris Salcedo TX, at ChrisSalcedoTX, as in Texas. And then, of course, listening to the program, easy to do, theblaze.com/radio, SiriusXM, Channel 796, Blaze Radio smartphone app, iHeart Radio smartphone app. You know what? Personally, I have the Blaze Radio app. I find it functional, and it looks so very good. I don't want to give a plug out there, but I just got a new car, and it's pretty of a cool-looking car. It's a Hyundai, and it's got the Apple Smart Play in it, and the Blaze Radio smartphone app interfaces ever so beautifully with this car. So it's just a suggestion. It just looks really cool. Sounds very good, too. Just my personal preference there. SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher. SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. That's for on-demand listening on your schedule, or better yet, when you share this program with 2,000 folks who happen to be in your circle. All right, we have a lot to cover today, and it's not all, there's some, but not all election-centered. It's the most important story, how this country moves forward. I get it. But there are other things going on. I don't want to neglect other impactful things happening. And even as I try to get out of the orbit of presidential politics, it's still going to pull me back in, because everything seems to be these days because of the tentacles of the left-wing government that we find ourselves under right now. It does seem to involve itself in almost every facet of American life, and that's a negative. That's a bad thing. Also coming up, you guys heard of this charity dinner both the candidates went to, the Al Smith charity dinner for Catholic Charities. I think the press has been very hard on the candidates, and Hillary included. The reporting was, and it's mostly negative against Trump, but some of the reporting I saw coming out of Westwood One, for example, was that both candidates' jokes fell flat. Well, there were some pretty funny ones, too. So I will play some of the more funny jokes put out by both candidates. Yeah, a little bit of a let your hair down Friday kind of thing. And even in the jokes, there's a lot of stinging commentary from both candidates. So that should be a good deal of fun coming up a little later on the show. Oh, by the way, Mary Ramirez is going to be here. She'll have her latest offering, which has to do with the WikiLeaks. I guess Mary has taken it upon herself as well as has the show. We are the antidote to the Brian Williams press here. So we will make sure that you are informed about what's going on inside of the WikiLeaks dumps, even though the majority of the press is not following suit. And hat tip once again to Fox News Channel. They have a part two of their WikiLeaks analysis coming up, and we're going to play some of that for you. Ed Henry doing a yeoman's job. But let's start off here with Obamacare. We all remember where Mr. Obama was on Obamacare, correct? And how he sold this as a pack of lies to the American people?
We will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period.
Lie.
If you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep your health care plan, period.
Lie. A system where we're going to work with your employers to lower your premiums by up to $2,500 per family per year.
Okay, so it was all lies. Barack Obama is a dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten liar, and we all know it. And, of course, it would be one thing if it was a little white lie and it didn't hurt everybody so badly, but it did. Vast majority of Americans hate this law. Vast majority of Americans are hurt by this law. Vast majority of Americans, I'm hoping, sees through the tactics, because Barack Obama got out there on the campaign trail and he revealed, many folks have suspected for, and your liberty-loving Latino here for a long time, that Obamacare was just a precursor to single payer, the left wing's ultimate goal of controlling you by controlling your health care, which is something that ought not be allowed to do. Just on a basic human level. Let's see. Ted Kennedy gave us the HMO system and Democrats told us it sucked. Barack Obama gave us Obamacare and Democrats say it sucks. And so do the vast majority of Americans say it sucks. Now we're going to trust Democrats once again to say, oh no, they've got the solution now. Here it is, single payer. And there is not one successful single-payer medical system around this country. I'm sorry, around this world. No country that is successful at implementing something like this, because it doesn't have the ability to be successful. Because it's socialist slash communist. There's no regulatory mechanism in there other than government. And then government must ration. And all well and good, but for crying out loud, your medical needs might not fit the government's medical needs or what they think you need. So therein lies the problem. This one size fits all for a very intimate decision-making process of your medical care. It has never worked. It never will work. But liberals never stop trying, because the goal isn't to make it work for you. The goal isn't to make your life better. The goal is to control you. So here's President Obama out there on the campaign trail, and he's pulling a bait and switch with a soundbite. Let's see if you can catch it.
The problems that may have arisen from the Affordable Care Act is...
Oh, wait, Affordable Care Act? No, wait. Why isn't he calling it Obamacare anymore? Remember back in 2012? My detractors called it Obamacare. And I agree. Obamacare's. So we're going to call it Obamacare. He gave us all permission to call it Obamacare. Now that it's falling flat, now that it's failing, now that it's hurting so many Americans, oh, we don't call it Obamacare anymore, do we? President Obama. No. And what is this business about? Well, that may be caused by the Affordable Care Act. No, that's what we're talking about here, sir. There is no doubt that the Affordable Care Act slash Obamacare is causing these problems. What do you mean, may be causing these problems?
The problems that may have arisen from the Affordable Care Act is not because government's too involved.
Well, yes, that's the exclusive reason why Obamacare is failing. It is, by definition, government involvement. Now, here's Mr. Obama trying to set up the predicate that all Obamacare is free market. You cannot have government telling industry what to do and have it not be government involvement. This is not free market. By definition, it's not free market. It's not the market that's detailing what is in these plans. It's government. And the government is not the free market. Now, granted, Barack Obama's talking before an audience, bunch of left-wingers who never question, who believe government is good, government is good, government is good. Whatever government says, I bend over, I take it. Whatever government says, that's why they are a very compliant audience. They never question government. They question big business. Big business, which owes them nothing. Big business has to earn their patronage. Government doesn't. You ever notice that? Government has a captive audience, if you will. That's why I'm such a big proponent of limited, small government, constitutional government, because it should be the least intrusive possible in a free society.
It's too involved in the process. The problem is that we have not reached everybody and pulled them in.
Pulled them in? Is that that's your goal, right? Nobody has a choice, Mr. Obama. Your law applies to everyone. What do you mean you haven't reached anybody? Everybody. I mean, you have reached everybody. You made it against the law not to buy your elevated health insurance, your elevated cost health insurance, Mr. Obama. You've made it illegal for senior citizens to not buy prenatal care, even though they're 65, 70 years old. You've made it illegal, you buffoon. Oh, there's more of this on the other side of the break. And you know what? I always take calls from you folks out there who have suffered under Obamacare. And I imagine it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. And Fox News Channel also detailed how bad it's getting out there. And we'll play that for you as well. Telephone numbers, 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. It's Salcedo Show Friday here on The Blaze. Be right back.
Well, storms are coming.
It's not just a show. It's a force of nature.
Hashtag Salcedo Storm.
The Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-490-1099 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-490-1099.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
The Chris Salcedo Show. Listen, dial, speak. 888-900-3393.
It may be that the economics of it just don't work unless the government is providing an option.
And there it is, everybody. There's the bait and switch. Welcome back. It's the Chris Salcedo Show and Barack Obama. Well, let me be clear. It might be that Obamacare, which was the greatest thing that ever had graced humanity, may not work. The numbers may not work unless you have a public option. That's what he's saying. I want you all, everybody within the sound of my voice, and if you share anything of this program today with anybody else, share this. The very idea that the government would tax private businesses and then use that money to come up with a business run by the government to compete with those private businesses is anti-American. It is anti-American, and Barack Obama and his left-wing Democrats are pitching it. It is wholly improper. It is wholly unfair and it is wholly unacceptable that the federal government tax away from private businesses or the citizenry to create something to compete with the private businesses or the citizenry. You are funding your own competition. It is anti-American. It is un-American. And Barack Obama has just pitched it. That's precisely what socialized medicine is, what the single payer system is. It basically utilizing the what they think is limitless resources of the federal government to put private industries out of business. It's And of course, it's a perversion of the market, and everybody will suffer. As every single nation that has tried this garbage suffers. So long as your mechanism is happy, healthy, abundant health care and cutting edge health care. So anyway, President Obama pushing the bait and switch.
To make it affordable. If no private insurers are providing affordable insurance in an area, then the government would step in with a quality plan that people can afford.
How come they can't do that? Because you've made rules, Mr. Obama, that made it impossible for them to compete. They can't compete across state lines. You've told them what a man who has no expertise at all in insurance or in business for that matter has told them what they must do. So there's no way they can be competitive. So they have to charge these exorbitant fees. They must to stay in business. And of course, your goal was never to keep them in business, which has always perplexed me about the traitorous insurance companies. They had to know this about Barack Obama. Oh, I bet you they know now. Let me get to your calls out there. If you have Obamacare horror stories, and I've got more on this because there is a comparison out there from the Fox News Channel, not a comparison, actually an analysis of where we sit with Obamacare, and it ain't pretty. And I'll play that for you coming up. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. One of the most beautiful names for a girl that I know, Trinity, is calling in from South Carolina. Trinity, welcome to the Salcedo Show.
Well, too bad I'm not a girl. How you doing, Chris?
Wow. Well, you know what? I thought it – well, I'm doing all right. Now, is Trinity your real name or is that a code name?
No, that's my real name.
Seriously?
Yeah, my dad preached a little bit when he got out of World War II, and one of his favorite Westerns was Trinity.
All right. See, that makes more sense. Now, if you're talking about the Blessed Trinity, was he a Catholic?
No, he was a Baptist.
Baptist? Okay, yeah. Well, now that makes more sense, okay? Because every Trinity I've ever met in my life has been a girl. So, hey, welcome, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Let me ask you something. Maybe I've shared this story with Buck Sexton before, but maybe you can help me. When Obamacare was passed, it was to help people get insurance, correct?
Well, that was the stated purpose, but that wasn't the real reason.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking is because I tried to get Obamacare, so I called to enroll because I didn't have insurance, and I was told this precisely, that I did not make enough money to get help, that in order for me to get insurance, I could try to get Medicaid here in South Carolina or Medicare. And I told them I made too much in South Carolina to get Medicare. And they said, well, we don't know what to tell you.
Well, you're part of the 30 million who are still uninsured under Obamacare. Remember,
right.
The whole predicate for selling Obamacare, too, is there are 30 million Americans uninsured. Well, here we are 6 years later, 7 years later, and there are still, according to Bernie Sanders, 29 million people uninsured, and you fall in that hole. So now, how do you get by? Because you're in violation of the law. You know that, Trinity. Did you explain to them, look, you're supposed to give me health care. I'm not supposed to be able to be denied because it's against the law not to have health insurance. Did you explain to them that they shouldn't be allowed to deny you?
Yeah, and you know what they did? They gave me a code to put on my W-2 form so I would not be penalized because they said I tried to enroll. And I was like, well, how much do you have to make to get help with insurance? And they
now, is that an exclusive code to you, Trinity, or could anybody use that code?
They never really went into detail.
Well, what's the code? let's share the code right now. No,
well,
I'm dead serious. I mean,
I wrote it down for my insurance. I wrote it down for my taxes. Nowhere on the tax form is there anywhere to put a code to get exempt.
Terrific. Terrific. Well, welcome to the land of endless bureaucracy.
Yep.
Brought to you by President Obama and his Democrats. Not one Republican voted to impose this nonsensical law on you, Trinity. Not one.
Oh, yeah. That's why I totally went against, because for a long time, I supported Republicans, but then when they did this, I was like, no way.
Well, the Republicans funded it. The Republicans funded it, but they did not vote for it. So you have the Democrats exclusively to blame for infecting the nation with Obamacare, if I can carry out an analogy here. But you have Republicans to thank for not providing the cure for Obamacare, which is they continue to feed the virus, which is with money. So that's the level of culpability from the respective parties. Thank you, Trinity. Hey, man, sorry about getting your sex wrong before I got on the air. Note to the production staff, if there is ever somebody on where it might sound like, you know, just make sure you put female, male. That'd be good. Let's go to Colorado next. Hey, John, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Hey, Chris, how's it going, brother?
It's going well, man. What's going on with you?
Cool. Just wanted to touch on a couple points about single payer system as well as Obamacare.
Yeah.
I believe I sent you a copy of the letter that my doctor who saved my life sent, that said that she's no longer able to practice due to the cost of insurance and her reimbursement.
I think I vaguely remember that. Yes.
Yeah, you know, so that is just horrible. Just horrible.
Hey, John, I just looked at the clock. I've got about 15, 20 seconds before I got to go to a hard break here. Hang on with me through the break. We'll hear a little bit more from you, and because I want to get your story in there. And I'll tell you folks about us.
You're listening to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo.
Coming up, Bob. 3D printing of guns. Oh, yes, that might come in handy if another leftist gets into the Oval Office. And also, confirmation that Democrats are relying on illegals having driver's licenses and voting. WikiLeaks informing us of that. That's all coming up. But right now, talking about Obamacare, John in Colorado was kind enough to hold at the break. John, so I didn't want to give you a short shrift, man. Go ahead and finish your story.
Yeah, so pretty much she had a private practice, and due to the insurance reimbursement rates, she had to close that, and then she went to a group practice, and it just didn't afford her the time that she needed with her patients, so she made the decision to get out of the business entirely.
Right, so, I mean, and you know what? There's a story on the Drudge Report today about continuing down this road. There is an anticipated mass exodus out of medicine because the government's making it impossible to make a living off of it.
Definitely. And getting into the single payer thing, my late father-in-law was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer a couple of years back, and he was a Canadian citizen. And going through that healthcare process, you know, my wife and I would take turns going up there to be with him and my mother-in-law. With the single payer system, imagine the TSA combined with the DMV and whatever other
Amtrak
line you can. Yeah. But they made it look pretty. The hospitals, I mean, it looked like a upscale mall. But going through it and getting this dying man treatment, goodness, it was just horrible.
Yeah, well, look at the VA. The VA is an American
Absolutely.
Example of single payer, and it is an utter failure, not because of the good people who are in it, but because the system, the system cannot succeed. The system cannot do what it's set out to do because it's not government's role. It's not what government's supposed to do, John. Hey, I appreciate the call, buddy, and thank you again for sharing the story. I got a call this morning from a woman on the Dallas-Fort Worth show of the Chris Salcedo Show, and she has breast cancer, stage one breast cancer. She's on her third insurance company since Obamacare. I was like, man. And she says, I've got reams of papers, reams of paperwork, just trying to keep myself covered is a chore because all of my policies keep getting canceled. This is the net effect of Barack Obama. He knows it too. I think he knows it because here he is comparing Obamacare to a faulty product.
And think about it. When one of these companies comes out with a new smartphone, then it has a few bugs. What do? They fix it. They upgrade it. Unless it catches fire, then they just... Then they pull it off the market.
Yeah, then they pull it out of the market. See, your health care plan, Obamacare, is catching fire, sir. It's hurting Americans in the pocketbook and in their ability to acquire care. Yes, Obamacare is the equivalent to the Samsung 7 that's blowing up. It's threatening people's lives, threatening people's pocketbooks, threatening people's jobs. By definition, a faulty product, Mr. Obama. Time to pull it off the market. But listen to how he pulls his left-wing fat out of the fire.
But you don't go back to using a rotary phone. You don't say, well, we're repealing smartphones.
Well, his analogy is all screwed up because we all know that the advanced technology in this discussion is the free market. It is this collectivist crap, this government-centered, government-dominated systems. They are as old as time and as failed as time. The great free market, free enterprise system is what's new and innovative. Barack Obama just put lipstick on a pig. Barack Obama is a throwback to the monarchs of the day, to the tried and failed systems instituted by Mao and Stalin and leftists throughout time. Barack Obama is nothing new. Barack Obama is about as old as dirt in his ideology. Now, remember, this wasn't how it was supposed to be. We played for you the promises earlier broken by Barack Obama. You know, you might want to go ask if you have a Democrat representing you or you have Democrat friends, are they the stupid people? And I know you're going to have to explain very quickly, but just say, hey, it's not me asking, not your liberty-loving Latino. It's not you conservatives out there. Just say, you know, because it was Jonathan Gruber, right? Jonathan Gruber defined all of these people who believed Barack Obama's lies. He called them the stupid people.
Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. You know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever.
Yeah. And that's how he was able to ruin the American healthcare system. And trying to set us up for this pivot towards single payer, which gives them absolute... I mean, what could go wrong with the government in control of your healthcare? What could go wrong? Oh, man alive. Fox News Channel detailing, well, things that are already going wrong with government's intrusion into healthcare.
The CBO estimates that it is going to cost net cost to the federal government $220 billion from 2014 to 2016. But over the next 10 years, the projected net cost $1.4 trillion. There are at least 1.4 million people in 32 states that will lose their Obamacare plan coming soon because they are some of those groups and organizations, the companies are pulling out of the states. It could mean that Obamacare shrinks in size. Enrollment next year range from 8% decline to 4% gain in there. And also states with a single marketplace insurer, there are now Alabama, Alaska, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Wyoming. Only single insurers, and others have seen it diminish.
See, there's more evidence. Barack Obama calls Obamacare a marketplace. By definition, only having one choice is not a marketplace. A marketplace has several choices with folks competing. Obamacare is not a marketplace, and particularly in five states. Your fellow citizens don't have any choice at all. They've got crappy plans that are way too expensive with stuff they don't need, and they're forced to buy it by the stupid, insane law brought to you by Democrats. Here's the takeaway. Democrats will say, yes, we tried it the free market way and it failed. So now let government take over. No, no, no. Here's the proper way to look at it. Ted Kennedy gave us the HMO system. Barack Obama gave us Obamacare. There is no way in hell that I'm going to entrust health care again to Democrats, because all they know how to do is screw it up. Telephone number you want to weigh in on the program, folks. I would highly encourage you to call on this. I'll take your Obamacare stories any day of the week. It doesn't matter. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. To Alaska we go. Hello, Jason. Welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Hey, brother. Okay. Here's another reason why is because, I work in the medical coding and billing field, right? So the provider bills out to Obamacare, right? And the bill is $350 a month, right? But what they do is they don't pay, and then the next month they don't pay, and then they don't pay, right? And you're appealing these claims at the beginning, right? At the beginning, you know? So now you're 6 months deep, and now it's six times 350. And what the Obamacare people are doing are sending their little auditors to the office to wonder why the bill is so big. So what they do is they make you cut it all up and show them how you build every single month, right? But in the process, they tear your office up. Now, how does that look? I've had medical providers tell me that they're not even willing to take the risk anymore. Do you understand? Because if they paid the bill every single month, it would only be like $350 for simple care for a patient. But they let it build up and build up, and it's like pulling teeth, right? And to get Obamacare insurers to pay their bills, right? And then when it accrues to this very large thing, they send their minions, right? And it's an absolutely terrible thing. And I'm in Alaska, brother. And I've dealt with every major insurer. And before Obamacare, I tell you what, there was so much more flexibility. You know, the patients were informed when their bills were getting high, you know what I'm saying? Alternative care, you know, sent to being able to take and send to different
doctors.
Yeah,
your state, Jason, it's by the crazy. Way, was one of those listed that you have on the Obamacare exchange. You have no choice. There's only one choice you have.
Okay, but think about this. This is typical of the government. So I bill out, right? And they deny a claim, right? So then I appeal it. The patient just wants a wheelchair, simple clunker tank, right out here. So for her old age, you know what they do? They send four guys to Juneau to evaluate it, pay their hotels, pay their meals and everything, and their flight back to Anchorage, because the capital is here in Juneau, right? Just to come back and decide, okay, she can have a $400 wheelchair. Dude, we couldn't believe it. After 4 months of appealing for this lady through the Obamacare, they had to send four of their minions, right, and pay for their stay at the capital to do what? Wow. I'm completely frustrated as a medical
American taxpayer money at its being utilized at its worst. All right, Jason, I got to scoot to a break, man. I thank you for the update. As always, have a great weekend. Up next, illegals voting. It's all part of the Democrats' plan. And now we know it, thanks to WikiLeaks. It's the Salcedo Show here in the Blaze. Be right back.
This
is the Chris Salcedo Show.
Only on the Blaze Radio Network. Salcedo Show.
You know what they said when they're talking about giving illegals driver's license? They said, hey, come on. You're worried about nothing. All you conservatives, you're worried about nothing. We're not legitimizing illegals. We just want to have safety. We want to have safety on our roadways. And then we said, well, basically what you're doing is you're paving the way for illegals to vote in elections. That's just absurd, they said. You know what I found out? That 12 states in our union, 12 states issue, and the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., they issue driver's licenses to illegals. And basically, we've had it revealed through WikiLeaks that this is all part of the Democrats' plan. This is all part of their cheating effort. These rigged elections that Donald Trump keeps talking about. John Podesta, in his latest email, I think Teddy's idea scratches the itch. Is pretty safe and uncomplicated. On the picture ID, the one thing I have thought of in that space is that if you show up on election day with a driver's license and a picture, a test that you are a citizen, you have a right to vote in federal elections. So here they are advocating for driver's licenses, and then, well, there's the driver's license. Just say you're a citizen and vote. Be an illegal and vote. It's all part of the Democrats' voter registration drive, and we have WikiLeaks to thank for it. Let's go to the state in which I broadcast from, the great state of Texas. John is hanging on the line. Hey, John, welcome to the Salcedo Show.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure to hear your voice every day.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the compliment.
I want to tell you a little story about my roommate. She's about mid-50s, and about 5 years ago, she suffered a brain aneurysm, still has one in there ticking, and so she's been very active with her health insurance since then, and her doctor has her on some medication. I'm not sure what it's for, but there's no generic for it, so she has to go out and get the real thing. Her insurance won't pay for it. She switched off of Medicare, so she's disabled. She switched off of Medicare, got a Medicare replacement. They won't pay for the medication. I don't know why. I don't think it's anything weird or experimental or anything like that. She called them crying about not being able to get her medication that the doctor wants her to be on. They said, "So sorry, we can't help you." Well, apparently when there's a problem like that on the phone, the insurance company has that CSR hand write a letter on company stationery and mail it to her. And the letter was real apologetic, and I said, "We're sorry, you know, you're having problems and can't afford your medicine, but I have a suggestion." This is a CSR writing this. "I have a suggestion. Go to the store, buy some candy, put a table up in your front yard, and sell the candy for 100% markup to help make up the difference so you can afford your medicine."
What?
I'm not joking. I'm serious.
Now you said, what is a CSR again? Remind me what that is.
A customer service rep, the person she spoke to on the phone.
Yeah, and this is a government customer service rep.
United Healthcare.
Oh, okay. So it's so the United Healthcare folks. This is a private insurer. Sent her the note.
Yes, after the phone call where she was crying about not being able to get the medicine. They wouldn't cover it.
You know, John, isn't it a wonder I call them the traitorous insurance companies? I mean,
Wait. I can't put all the blame on the insurance company because I believe they're following the law, are they not?
Well, no, don't forget, John. They were the ones who jumped in bed with Obama to force this thing on us. They wanted to make money off of your back, off of your relatives' back, off of my back. They thought they were going to be rolling in the dough, and really what they did is they signed their own death warrant. John, great call, man. Thanks for calling in from the great state of Texas. Coming up next hour, we'll have a little comic relief heading into the weekend. And have you ever thought about printing up your own guns at home? Well, if Hillary gets in, you may have to do just that. Back in a minute.
The Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vaches. I don't have to show you any stinking vaches.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, here we go. Hour two underway. The Chris Salcedo Show. We'll check in with Mary Ramirez here in mere moments. But one caller was left over from last hour. I want to make sure I get to Dan in South Carolina. Dan, thank you for your patience. Glad you made it here to the Chris Salcedo Show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
I'm all right, sir. Glad
you
called.
A few minutes ago, you played a clip of Obama talking about if the phone blows up in your pocket, you don't go back to the rotary phone. Yeah. Well, he proved that the free market is the solution. With the single-payer government-run health care, if that phone blows up in your pocket, you got no choice but to keep that phone. With a free market, you just go to the competitor and buy a better phone.
Right. Or, you know what? Even if you had to go back to the rotary phone, at least it worked. You know
That's
what I mean?
Right. Probably cheaper, too.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. It works and it's cheaper. And what if you are an individual who, I don't want all that smartphone garbage. I just want, a standard flip phone to make phone calls. I want to do everything else onto it. What if I want to go back to a more basic phone because I don't have a need for all this other stuff? Oh, yes. In Obama's world, you have no other choice. But in the free market, you do have a choice.
Exactly.
Dan, your call was worth the wait, brother. I appreciate it. Thanks for being here on the Salcedo Show. All right, let's get out to Mary Ramirez, who's standing by. Good day to you, Mary Ramirez.
Good day to you, Chris Salcedo. How's it going?
Doing pretty well. You know what? I got to say this about our first joint effort. It raised some eyebrows at home here in the Blaze and across social media. As you saw from the comments, it got pretty raucous in there for a little while.
It raised debate, which is exactly what we hope for. We want to raise awareness.
For those of you who don't know, Mary and I teamed up to write this piece that was geared directly toward the Never Trump movement, and just basically opening up that dialogue about, you know, Hillary Clinton is going to be an absolute disaster, and she will target us, and we don't think Trump will. And that was kind of the basic gist of it. But this week, you have branched out into doing something again. You and I are on the same page without even knowing about it, because we've made a commitment to making sure that we are dedicated to getting out to the people as much as we humanly possibly can the WikiLeaks information and the James O'Keefe Project Veritas information, because the rest of the Brian Williams press, they're not doing anything about it. And we thought we should do their job plus ours. What is your piece on this week?
You're right, Chris. You know, I am trying to do the job of the Brian Williams press along with you. And so this week I branched out a bit, and I'm reaching out this week to Hillary voters. Last week, as you said, you know, we spoke directly to Never Trumpsters. We asked them to think about what was at stake. But with this piece, I wanted to run with it a bit and make a final plea to this other crowd of people who are either thinking about voting for Hillary or they already are, you know, who don't believe or don't understand the gravity of Hillary Clinton's scandals that these WikiLeaks reveal. And to an extent, you know, I get it. It's not really easy to grasp the gravity of these scandals that WikiLeaks has revealed to us, because as you well noted, our media does not cover it. And when they do, they expend as much energy as possible trying to downplay each and every one of these scandals. You know, but the thing is, as you and I both know, these are not things that just stay in the beltway. These are things that do trickle down and do affect us. This isn't just about a politician's personal corruption and, oh, well, that's her over there and her campaign in Washington. No, it affects us in very real ways. And I may be charging at windmills here, but I would be remiss if I didn't try to reach even a few potential Hillary voters with this stuff. Because, as you said, the Brian Williams press certainly isn't going to give them this information.
Well, you know, I don't know that you're going to be able to reach maybe Hillary voters, but you might be able to reach Bernie Sanders, especially with
potentially
these, yeah, the Wall Street speeches thing might
right.
just tick off enough Bernistas.
Well, right, but you know, to all of my fellow Americans, I want them to think about this with common sense. Put politics aside, stick some common sense in here. You know, take for example her public and private positions. I want to put this into context for people. What does that mean for a Hillary voter, whether they are staunch Hillary or Bernista? What does that mean to someone who's going to go check the box for Hillary Clinton? That you are Hillary Clinton's useful idiot. She'll tell you what you need to hear in order to get your vote, and then proceed to do whatever the hell she wants that most benefits her political ambitions.
I was going to say,
that's huge.
Do you think that her constituency gives any thought to this kind of stuff? I mean, look, I mean, all they want to do is beat conservatives and beat Republicans, which in a way I kind of envy.
Well, you know, I do think, Chris, and I touched on this in the piece, I do think that many of them believe that it's just a means to an end and it doesn't matter because they just need to get her into office. But that's what I want Hillary voters to understand. You are safe from her wrath so long as you are useful. I mean, look at the different groups of people that she has slammed, and her campaign have slammed behind the scenes. Groups that she runs around and talks about how much she cares about them. Latinos, for example. Oh, needy Latinos. Or the Muslim faith. When they poll tested Barack Obama's Muslim background to see whether or not that would be a good campaign, a slam back in 2000 and when she ran the first time in 2008. So it's.
Yep.
You are safe so long as you are useful. They have absolutely no standard besides themselves, which means they'll change course whenever and however that they see fit. And that's what I want people to understand. This may be a means to an end for you now to look aside or to set these scandals aside and say, you know, it really doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. Because right now you're useful to her.
She
but what happens when that changes?
She doesn't even like people. I mean, have you seen some of these these WikiLeaks things that really give us an insight into the kind of person she
is?
She doesn't like people. I mean, Uma Abedin is the only person that she lets get close to her, and some people say that she gets really close to her, but I don't want to get into all of that. So Mary, what is the title of your piece this week?
Sure. How the Clinton WikiLeaks scandals impact you. And that is on theblaze.com in the contributors section.
Mary Ramirez, everybody, longtime contributor here to the Chris Salcedo Show. A pleasure as always. Have a fantastic weekend.
You as well, Chris. Enjoy the sunshine.
Yes. Well, yes. If you happen to be in a part of the country, folks, where the sun is shining. It's not that way in New York, is it, Skipper? You guys have a gloomy day going on there. Beautiful day in the great state of Texas, as a matter of fact. And I guess it must be shining up in Minnesota, where Mary is broadcasting from today. All right, coming up on the other side of the break, we will have a conversation about 3D printed guns. May need this, folks, if we get another leftist occupying the Oval Office. It's coming up on the Chris Salcedo Show on The Blaze.
Conservative talk radio with spice.
The Chris Salcedo Show, only
on The Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo
is on the Blaze Radio Network.
Hillary Clinton could be president. There's a possibility that we will have an anti-Second Amendment, anti-firearms candidate in that Oval Office once again. We're enduring one right now in President Obama, and Hillary Clinton could be in the Oval Office, God help us all. And if that is the case, I think our next guest might become very popular. I'm just saying. Cody Wilson is the author of Come and Take It, The Gun Printer's Guide to Thinking Free. He is the founder and director of Defense Distributed, home of the Wiki Weapon Project, a nonprofit organization that developed and published the world's first open source gun designs suitable for 3D printing. Cody, great to meet you, man.
Chris, thank you for putting in those terms, and thank you for giving me the time.
Well, I'm glad to make your acquaintance. This is something that has fascinated me ever since I saw this machine, this 3D printer, and what you could do with it. First off, describe what the 3D printer does, its cost. My understanding, the costs of these things are dropping like a rock. What is your experience?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and consumer 3D have converged, and they use plastics, they use ceramics. Some even use metal. And of course, we also use the same techniques in milling now, the same types of software in milling. So we actually do a bit of milling, printing with plastic, and together we call all this 3D printing.
Okay. And what my understanding is, as long as you're using it for personal use, that it's completely 100% legal, and the government has no right or no ability to track the weapons you are creating so long as you're creating them for your own use.
That's right. I've organized a company, and we sell a range of products, and we've distributed software for free over the years that allow you to make a gun for yourself, which is totally a legal pursuit. If you're allowed to own it, you're allowed to make it. And this is something that we believe that people have to have the capability to do, especially as we head into a post-Second Amendment era.
Yeah, you know, and I want to touch on that, on the political ramifications of this in a minute, but I want to get some more nuts and bolts. The 3D printers out there, how much would that run the average American if they wanted to go and buy one that is good and that is able to do the job they want it to do, how much are they going to have to dish out?
Sure. Okay. Mid-range 3D printers can be, you know, a couple thousand dollars. And if you want a very low range mill, like a drill press or a desktop CNC to do like aluminum lower receivers for AR-15s, that can be as cheap as $1,500.
Wow. Okay. And you said the materials that are used in these printers can vary. Plastics, aluminums. Is there any limitation to the material?
No, there's not really. There's such a range of techniques, and there's so many different things now called 3D printing. So I just want to like stress that it's not just a matter of, you know, cheap plastic and things that can break. Yes, it's some of that, but it's also these techniques like milling, like I was describing. So there's so many different techniques that we call it digital manufacture now. So many different ways of doing quote unquote 3D printing.
Cody Wilson is my guest right now, author of Come and Take It, The Gun Printer's Guide to Free Thinking, and of course the title of your book, Come and Take It, is somewhat of an anthem around the state of Texas, because a lot of folks around this state believe in the right of self-defense that was part of our original agreement in the Constitution of the United States, an agreement that leftists, the Democrat Party, liberals have been trying to remove. What is your take on a potential of a Hillary Clinton, a continuation of the anti-gun Barack Obama agenda in the person of Hillary Clinton, if we're unlucky enough to get her in the Oval Office?
Oh, yeah, man. Look, I'm sorry to say it, but, you know, all my business decisions and planning are based around the possibility of the presidency and the appointment of her anti-Second Amendment Supreme Court justices. I just honestly strongly believe that the content of the Heller decision and the content, the substance of the Second Amendment will mostly evaporate under her presidency. And what to do other than preserve these things ourselves?
Yeah, we've seen the ramifications of leftists and extremist liberals like Hillary Clinton in charge of governments. Out in San Francisco, we've followed very closely as the last gun shop closed in the city of San Francisco within the city of limits. And we're not saying you can't own a gun, but we're going to make it so administratively onerous on anybody who wants to sell a gun that it'll be impossible for them to have a business to sell firearms. And that's where my thought is, wow, that's when this 3D printing revolution, if you will, or innovation, if you want a more tame term for it, would come in handy for a lot of folks who still believe in their Second Amendment right to possess a firearm.
You know, we're watching, by the way, there's never this moment of outrage where they bite off more than they can chew. They kill us by 1,000 cuts. And you're seeing, like in California, the slow draining away of people's ability to own the AR-15. That entire state, you can barely have a battle rifle in the state of California now. And they never had to take it away from you. They always just made it progressively more difficult to buy it, to own it, to find it, you know, to apply to get it. And, I mean, look, that's a third of our business. That's a third of my entire business. I sell a machine called a Ghost Gunner that helps you make an AR-15. An entire third of my business is people in California who are trying to circumvent the laws out there.
Wow. And that's saying something, where a third of your business, I would imagine there are a lot more folks out there in California who are distressed living under that oppressive government out there. That and think about being I'm a former Californian. I'm a San Diego native. So imagine being out there in California when you have the federal government arrayed against your rights and a state government arrayed against your rights. I mean, you must feel, if you'll pardon the pun here, under the gun from that type of government. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, it's like a canary in a coal mine or a barometer or something. My greatest fear is that Texas slowly becomes something like a California in the next 10 years, just because of, just by default, that this is somehow the plan. So when I saw this year that the polling showed that, you know, Trump wasn't doing so hot in Texas by historical standards, it really makes you think maybe Texas only has about 10 good years, 10, 15 good Second Amendment years left. I mean, I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just trying to be, strategic.
All right. Well, strategic is actually a pretty good word for it, because and that's why I wanted to do this segment, because, quite frankly, there needs to be a deterrent for left wingers, extremist Democrats, for trying to take away our God given right of self-defense. And I think that what you are offering may be the wave of the future. Cody Wilson, folks, the author of Come and Take It, The Gun Printer's Guide to Thinking Free. Where can folks go if they want to get more information about this in their states?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we're at Defense Distributed on Google. Just Google us. Well, so we have a website, ghostgunner.net. It's where we sell most of our current hardware to help you make your own AR-15s and AR-10s and soon 1911 frames. We believe that the Second Amendment is increasingly a do-it-yourself project, and we stand to help you preserve your birthrights as an American citizen.
Cody Wilson, everybody. Sir, thank you for your time here on the Chris Salcedo Show.
Hey, I appreciate it, man.
Don't think I don't know, folks, where this can lead. I am fully aware that if you and me and Joe Schmo citizen, law-abiding citizen, can take one of these tools, the 3D printer, with the materials and make your own untraceable weapons. Again, it's illegal for you to produce it for other people, but you can make all you want for yourself legally. And the gangbanger next door could do the same thing. Or the terrorist that Barack Obama has let in could do the very same thing next door. I understand all of this. And this is a cautionary tale to those who think that our rights are always going to be there. They are never more than a generation away from being lost, folks. Reagan warned us of this. And the cautionary tale is this. Best you folks in law enforcement, best you citizens out there, stand up and say to the government, both state, local, and federal, stop persecuting law-abiding Americans for owning guns. Because the net effect is to drive law-abiding citizens underground. The net effect is to drive good people underground for fear of their own government because liberals lump that gangbanger and that would-be terrorist and every law-abiding citizen in the same boat. They think it's the gun. Oh, the gun is mean. Oh, the gun is nasty. Oh, the gun is scary. It's not the gun. It is the individual who wields the gun who needs to be concentrated on. But as we know, we started off talking about Obamacare in this show. And this is another example of what really the left's agenda is. It isn't to keep you safe. It isn't to prosecute or to eliminate a threat from the criminal element. The objective is to eliminate you and your ability to stand in their way, your ability to stand up to the leftists and say, no, I do not want you to do that. Well, when the leftists say, well, we've got guns or we're going to force our will upon you, you as a citizen can say, no, we've got guns too. Oh, we better talk this out then. But if they're successful in taking the guns away from law-abiding American citizens devoted to the Constitution of the United States, what's the net effect? When the ultimate demand comes, when the leftists say, well, we've got the guns and we're going to tell you what to do. And if you have no guns, what are you going to say? I guess we're going to have to do what you want to do. There's an example of this type of government, folks. It exists right to the south of our border. It's Mexico. Their people are disarmed. And the government lords over them. And guess what? They're like lambs to the slaughter for ruthless drug cartels who are living in Mexico with the mercy of the corrupt government down that way. You know, the cartels just pay off the government and the citizens of Mexico suffer. Don't let that be America. So I'd love it if these 3D printers weren't necessary, but it's nice to know they're out there if they are. More to come on the other side of the break. An update on WikiLeaks comes your way on the Chris Salcedo Show on The Blaze.
The Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network. The Chris Salcedo Show.
888-900-3393-888-900-3393. It's the Chris Salcedo Show. This is your radio republic. Unlike your current federal government, your views are heard, listened to, and addressed. right here on this program. Let's go to Pennsylvania, the key battleground state of Pennsylvania. Gene, welcome to the Salcedo Show. What say you, man?
Hey, good afternoon, Chris. I think that I like the idea of the 3D printing, but I don't see that it's any different than the gun or making any other gun. The federal government, once they decide to, and they have on some of these guys, they will restrict the printing of 3D guns and make it thus illegal. The only thing that's going to stop this federal government is going to be we the people standing up and saying, you're not taking them. Like Sheriff Clark has said, you're not going to come to my state and take my people's guns. And that's what it's going to take the American people to do.
No, I don't get me wrong. I know there's going to be a significant element of that, but you must have the arms to begin with. And what concerns me the most is having the federal government in possession of who has what. Now we are told that there's guaranteed that there's no database that's out there under this government. I don't believe it for a second. Under Barack Obama's government that has lied to us at every turn, I don't believe for a second they don't have a running tally of who has what size armaments and what type of armaments.
And I agree. And that's what I'm saying. It's going to take the American people to stand up and say, no, enough's enough.
And you know what? The nice thing about the 3D printing, too, Gene, is that it's for those who don't have great milling skills like me. I mean, zero milling skills.
Right.
It does take a lot of the guesswork out of it, and it's precision, and it's relatively easy, and that's why. And even if the federal regulators do start clamping down on it, there will be enough out there already, hopefully in the ether, where it won't make much difference. And that's the reason why they can't do the come and take it route at this point, because it would be a very well. There aren't too many military folks who would actually obey the order, but it would be a very messy business, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean, and I have a question. You call it conspiratorial if you like, but do you think they're arming all these other agencies for no reason? Do you think they've weaponized? I mean, the water department needs a SWAT team now. Do you think that's been done for no reason?
Not under Barack Obama's watch. I have every confidence that this government has been militarized, has been beefed up, has been grown to, and then its power and its authority turned not on our enemies and adversaries, but on we the people. I believe that wholeheartedly. Gene,
yeah.
I appreciate the call, buddy. I do. Have a great weekend. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. Hat tip to Fox News for doing basic summaries on WikiLeaks. Now, the last one we played by Ed Henry was a 5-minute, 45-second piece. This one is significantly shorter, but it does bring up some of the key, the subsequent releases of WikiLeaks and where we now stand.
A striking part of the WikiLeaks dumps of John Podesta's emails is how dismissive Hillary Clinton's inner circle is about her political instincts, including a September 2015 email where Podesta predicted Vice President Joe Biden would get in and fretted about Clinton losing. Podesta telling Democratic activist Neera Tanden, quote, "We are still way more likely than not to win nomination. We've taken on a lot of water that won't be easy to pump out of the boat. Most of that has to do with terrible decisions made pre-campaign, but a lot has to do with her instincts."
They know her best, and they know how terrible she is. I've said that if I've had a dollar for every time I've said this, I'd be a rich guy right now. There's a huge swath of Americans in and out of politics who despise Hillary Clinton. A lot of them are Democrats because they know how much of a mean, vindictive, cold, and calculated woman she really is.
In previous emails, Chief Strategist Joel Benenson questioned what was in Clinton's core. And Tanden said Clinton's failure to show genuine remorse for the email scandal had become a character problem. Though there are also questions about some of Clinton's top advisors' own instincts in the latest batch of emails. When Clinton kicked off her campaign in early 2015, top aides did not want to mention a key ally, Israel, in her stump speech because it might annoy the left. Benenson writing, quote, "Why would we call out Israel in public events now? The only voters elevating foreign policy at all are Republican primary voters."
Two things here. This strain that has grown in ferocity and vindictiveness toward Jews inside of the Democrat Party is incredibly troubling. This anti-Jewish sentiment that is part of now, it seems inextricably part of the Democrat Party, should be alarming to everyone. And the second point there about the only people concerned about national security, in essence, Republican primary voters, that would be you and me, conservatives. We're the only ones that care. And that's what these Democrat insiders are going, wait a minute, what do we care about the Jews? What do we care about national security? Our base doesn't give a damn about that. Why is she bringing that up? Well, here's the reason why one of them thought she should bring it up.
Foreign policy advisor Jake Sullivan smartly deadpanned she was Secretary of State.
But it doesn't, just because she was Secretary of State doesn't make her base any more pro-American, doesn't make her base any more pro-Israel, and her base cannot hide their anti-Semitic leanings. And this is something that is that needs to be talked about, because the left wing and their anti-Jewish sentiment needs to be called out because it's dangerous.
As Clinton finally started to inch towards securing the nomination in March, Podesta showed how worried they had been, writing to Clinton, quote, okay, I can breathe again, before pivoting to the search for a vice president by saying, I have organized names in rough food groups, listing out potential candidates by race, sex, and ethnicity, with categories for Hispanics, women, military leaders, and business types like Tim Cook of Apple.
This is how they win. They divide us. That's all you are to a Democrat operative, folks, is, are you black? Are you Hispanic? Are you a woman? Can we utilize your uniqueness to divide, to call the Republicans a bunch of racists or misogynists or what have you? That's all they're looking to do. They don't see us as Americans. They see us as special interest groups.
And Howard Schultz of Starbucks. Sanders was alone in the last category on the list.
What was that category? Left-wing kook? Was that? Yes, we've got blacks, Hispanics, and left-wing kook. There's Bernie Sanders. On the side of the break, we'll come back. We'll finish out this piece from Ed Henry and send you into the weekend with some laughs from that charity dinner in New York City last night, the Al Smith charity dinner, courtesy of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, courtesy of the Chris Salcedo Show and The Blaze. Be right back.
The media wasn't ready for a conservative Latino, so naturally, we gave him a show. The Chris Salcedo Show.
On the Blaze Radio Network. The Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Sanders was alone in the last category on the list, and despite recent diplomacy,
and someone who I am looking forward to working with.
In one email, Podesta blurted to Tandon, can you believe that doofus Bernie attacking a climate change deal? Clinton also had trouble courting Nancy Pelosi, Huma Abedin writing that after a July 2015 meeting, Clinton felt like she got a non-answer, with Pelosi saying she had to focus on the House. In the end, she did not endorse Clinton until 11 months later.
This is rich. This is amazing to me. I told folks, she's not beloved. She's not adored. It's just her turn. And she's more reviled than she is praised in Democrat circles. Her best attribute is her husband. And not even her husband wants her. I mean, folks, come on. And then here they are courting Bernie Sanders, and then her team calls him a doofus. All of you Bernistas out there, or if you folks know, I don't know very many Bernie Sanders supporters that actually listen to this program, but maybe there are some. But, you know, you ought to pass this on, this part of the broadcast on, and say, did you know that this is how Clinton's team views your guy? Although, you know, one of the more, well, at least with this audience, one of the more famous Bernistas was Liberal Fred. He was a big-time Bernie Sanders supporter, and you can't pry him out of Hillary Clinton's camp right now. She all this stuff could come out about how she thinks that Bernie Sanders is a reprobate, a left-wing loon, and it doesn't matter. All he wants to do is beat us, and that's who they are. They will compromise their values. Left and, well, not left and right, just left and left. So, again, hat tip to the Fox News Channel for doing this. You guys have done yeoman's work. And you know what? Almost solo work. It's been The Blaze, and it's been the Fox News Channel carrying a lot of, doing a lot of the heavy lifting, I should say, for these WikiLeaks revelations and also for the James O'Keefe video. It's been us. So without us, there wouldn't be actual information going on about the other side of this political race. All right. Speaking of the political race for president of the United States, both the candidates were at this charity dinner for Catholic charities. It's called the Al Smith Charity Dinner, and it's kind of traditional. The candidates show up there and do this, and I think it was a little unfair, but the press basically said that this was some of the jokes fell flat, and it's true, and some of them are cringeworthy, but both sides, they blamed it on Trump, of course they did, but both sides engaged in jokes in poor taste. But there was some funny stuff, too. Trump starting off talking about the senators from New York.
This is a hell of a dinner. Well, I want to thank Your Eminence. This is really great to be with you again. We love it. Governor Cuomo, our great senators. Hi, Chuck. He used to love me when I was a Democrat, you know.
Wow. And Hillary Clinton, too, getting some jokes in.
It's a special honor to be here with Your Eminence. Now, I know, Your Eminence, you were criticized for inviting both Donald and me here tonight. And you responded by saying, if I only sat down with those who were saints, I'd be taking all my meals alone. Now, just to be clear, I think the cardinal is saying I'm not eligible for sainthood.
Well, that's true.
But getting through these three debates with Donald has to count as a miracle.
That was pretty funny.
So I guess I'm up against the highest, hardest stained glass ceiling.
Yeah, wah, wah, wah. Let me give a compliment to Hillary Clinton. Her delivery was much better at this thing than Donald Trump. It looked like this is the first he was seeing the jokes when he's up there on the dais. Trump speaking again, this time getting into, this is more the tradition. You're supposed to show up there and talk bad about yourself, self-deprecating. There wasn't much of that going on because they had plenty of fire for each other.
They say when you do this kind of an event, you always start out with a self-deprecating joke. Some people think this would be tough for me, but The truth is, I'm actually a modest person, very modest. It's true. In fact, many people tell me that modesty is perhaps my best quality.
Yes.
Even better than my temperament.
Okay. So now, and Hillary, it took her turn.
But Your Eminence, you do deserve great credit for bringing together two people who've been at each other's throats. Mortal enemies, bitter foes. I've got to ask, how did you get the governor and mayor here together tonight?
For those of you around the rest of the country who are not New Yorkers, you got to know you've got Democrat versus extremist communist. The Democrat, of course, Governor Cuomo, and then the mayor of New York City, Mayor de Blasio, the communist, and they have been butting heads like crazy. So that's very much a New York joke. But just in case some of you didn't recognize the reference there, that's why it was funny. Here Trump is speaking about media bias.
These events give not only the candidates a chance to be with each other in a very social setting, it also allows the candidates the opportunity to meet the other candidates' team. I know Hillary met my campaign manager, and I got the chance to meet the people who are working so hard to get her elected. There they are, the heads of NBC, CNN, CBS, ABC. There's the New York Times right over there and the Washington Post. They're working overtime. Boo. Boo.
And then Trump offered proof of that bias.
You want the proof? Michelle Obama gives a speech, and everyone loves it. It's fantastic. They think she's absolutely great. My wife, Melania, gives the exact same speech. And people get on her case.
You guys remember there was a part of Melania's convention speech that was in question, copied, they said, from Mrs. Obama's. Anyway, hey, remember, everybody, a society's worth isn't measured by how much power is seized by government, but rather how much power is reserved for we, the people. Have a fantastic weekend, folks. Back here on Monday for the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network. Anything with WikiLeaks that comes out over the weekend, we'll make sure to bring it to you back here on Monday. See you then, folks.
You're listening to The Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.